Morning, everyone. God bless you. We're changing the subject, but we're not changing the subject. So we're moving on from entitling it a word family, and we're going to go into courtship and marriage and start over again at part one. And we'll stand and read the scripture. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And then on to Psalms chapter 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we ask that your spirit would be with us as we go into your word, that you would take your word and teach us and write it upon our hearts, Lord. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your revelation of yourself. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So as we look at the scripture, we understand both a virtuous and godly woman is a rare thing, and a godly man is also a rare thing. And as we look and see at these verses, you can understand charm is deceitful. So Proverbs spends a lot of time speaking about what a real lady is, what a real godly lady is. And as you look at this, it speaks a lot about charm, it speaks about being loud, it speaks about being boisterous, it speaks about being aggressive, and this isn't the kind of characteristics for a godly young woman. Amen. The real thing that is important is character, a woman that fears the Lord. She's the one that will be praised. Beauty is vain, charm is deceitful. Beauty lasts only so long. And just as you find from different stories in the scripture, you know, a man can be enchanted with a woman's looks and he can deceive her. You're thinking of Amnon and his half-sister. He can be so charmed with her and want her so badly, and then the minute that he violates her, turns and hates her. So the beauty lasts only so long, the charm lasts only so long, but a woman that fears the Lord, she's the one to look for. And then as you look at this, for young ladies looking for a young man, we understand, we can put this as a prayer for a young lady. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. The faithful fail from among the children of men. And how critical it is to look for a young man that is faithful, a young man that has godly or Christ-like character. This is the first priority when you're looking for a man, Christ-like character. Amen. Not someone that he just speaks things, he makes promises, he flatters you, he says all the right things, but what is his actual life speak? What's his relationship with his mother, with his sisters? How does he treat them? You know, how is he consistent with his life? We look in the Bible and we read different things. We think of how this applies back to ourselves, but think about as a young lady, what kind of man do you want to marry? Yeah. Do you want to marry Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar? Men who are, you say, oh no, that's terrible. Well, many a young woman do, and their life is marked by that. Handsome to the looks, has the money, has all the things that you think are important, but no consistency. Oh, this God, this thing, over here, over there. Oh, my advisors say this, I should do this. Or someone like Daniel who says, I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to stand for the truth, even if it costs me my life. I'm going to live with integrity and be consistent. It didn't matter if Daniel was a nobody or if he was the prime minister, and whether he was in Babylon or whether he was in Persia, who the emperor was, what it was, he knew who he was, and he was faithful. That's the kind of young man that you want to look for. Amen. In Choosing of a Bride, we're going to read quite a number of quotes from this message. If a man marries a sex queen, you see what he's looking for the future. If a man marries a woman that won't stay home, you see what he's looking for in the future. See, and that's the thing is, many times in the midst of the worldly system of dating, you're not thinking of the future. You're thinking of what's fun right now, what's enjoyable right now. This guy's cute. This guy flatters me. That's so stupid. You can't be more of an idiot if you're thinking about just what's fun right now. You have to understand you're planting seeds with every choice and every decision and every person that you let into your life. You're planting seeds of what's going to grow for the future. We like to think, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm impervious of the influence of others. No, you're not. And especially if you think that, you're especially not impervious to the influence of others. Amen. And so understand, look at the big picture. Don't be in the emotion and the feeling of the moment when you're looking at decisions for your future. What kind of father do you want for your children? What kind of mother do you want for your children? What kind of life do you want to create at home? You may not understand as a young person. How can I tell? How can I understand? Ask somebody once. Ask your pastor. Ask your mom and dad. Don't just go by the emotion of what makes you feel good. Paragraph 69. This sounds awful. I just feel to say it. And I usually, if I feel to say the thing, I have to say it. And it's usually God's way. I used to go with a rancher that I worked with to buy cattle, and I noticed the old fellow always looking right in the face of a heifer before he went to bidding. Then he turned her head and looked back and forth. I followed him along, watched him, and he looked her up and down. If she looked all right, the stature, then he turned and looked her in the face, and sometimes he'd shake his head and walk away. I said, Jeff, I want to ask you something. He said, say on, Bill. I said, why you always look that cow in the face? I said, she looks all right, a good heavy cow. Said, I want to tell you, boy, you got a lot to learn. And I realized it after he told me. Said, I don't care how she's made up. She might be beef plumb to the hoof, but if she's got that wild stare in her face, don't you never buy her. Said, why so, Jeff? Well, said, the first thing is, said, she'll never stay put. Said, next thing is, she'll never be a mammy to her calf. And said, they put her in a pen now. The reason she's fat, you'd turn her loose with that wild stare, she'd run herself to death. I said, you know, I kind of learned something. I believe that applies to women too, right? Right? That wild, starey Ricketta look. Better stay away from her, boy. All that their blue stuff over atop her eyes. Wouldn't want that. I don't think that's becoming to a Christian. I don't care how much the television and paper says it's pretty. It's the most horrible looking, hideous sight that I ever seen in my life. Amen. Amen. So again, I think we can take the same principle and apply it the opposite way as well. You know, don't just look at the outward appearance. You know, if in choosing David to be king, God says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So if we have the Holy Spirit, if we're Christians, if we're in a Christian family, we can also look at the heart as well. We don't have to be limited merely to the outward. He looks the part. He's got all the message terminology down. He's got all, I mean, there's been many people that have just looked at externals and given their daughters to horrible people that have destroyed their lives. So don't just look at the externals. Look at the character of the life. Look at the family as a whole. We've got to stop going based upon the world's definitions and the world's standards, because they will not lead you in the right direction. You might get lucky, but we're not living to get lucky. We're living to follow the leadership of the Lord. Again, choosing of a bride, paragraph 60. Could you imagine a Christian doing a thing like that? No, sir, I could not. A true Christian will not look for such beauty queens and chorus girls and sex queens. He'll look for Christian character. Now, you can't have all things. There might be one girl that's real pretty, and the other, maybe she's, her stature looks better than this one, and you might have to sacrifice one for the other. But if she's not the stature of a lady, of a woman, and she's, I don't care whether she's pretty or not, you better look at her character, whether she's pretty or not. Not pretty. Now, for it is becoming, if a Christian would choose a wife, he ought to choose a genuine, born-again woman, regardless of what she looks like. It's what she is, what makes her. And then again, that reflects his own godly character and reflects what's in his mind and what's going to be in the future. For his family will be raised by such a woman for the future plans for his home. If he marries one of these little modern Ricketta sex queens, what could he expect? What kind of a home could a man expect to have? If he marries a girl that ain't got enough moral about her to stay home and take care of a house and wants to work out in somebody's office, what kind of a housekeeper will she be? You'll have babysitters and everything else. It's true. Now, I'm not much of this modernistic taste of women working. When I seen these women with these uniforms on riding around in the city on motorcycles as police, it's a disgrace to any city that will let a woman do that. See? As many men that's without work, it shows the modern thinking of our city. It shows the degrading. We don't have to have them women out there like that. They ain't got no business out there like that. When God gave a man a wife, he gave him the best thing he could give him outside of salvation. But when one goes to trying to take a man's place, then she's about the worst thing that he could get a hold of. Now that's right. See? Amen. It's incredible to see. This is such a very simple and elementary thing that Brother Branham said. And I don't want to belabor the point. I know there's lots of different situations and lots of different circumstances. But again, we start from the Word of God. We don't build our lives upon the response to what our fears are, the response to what we think might happen. We first go based on the principle of God's word. What's the principle of God's word? A woman is to be prepared and made ready to be a keeper of the home. This is the vision. Brother Branham rebukes anything outside of that and says, why would you want a woman that's pursuing a career? Why would you choose that? You'll have babysitters and the family will be going every which direction. You say, what about this and what about that? Okay, what about this and what about that? But the reality is, what is our vision first as parents? Because you understand, our kids are getting a vision put over them, on them. Not just by the church, by you. What vision you're presenting them, what direction you're bringing them, what scriptures you're showing them. We just, whether you teach them or not, you're teaching them. And be sure that your vision is according to the Word of God. It might be the hard way. It might be the difficult way. It might seem impossible. You might have doubts and you might have fears. But I believe that if we will order ourselves first by what the Word says and walk by faith in what the Word says, God will meet and provide for every need. Many times we try to take it into our own hands, take our life into our own hands. And that's where we make our great mistake. In fact, isn't that the very root of pride? And it's the very root of what Satan wants for man. You take your life into your own hands. You make your plan. You find your way. You find your own purpose. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Why do we want to find our own way and our own purpose instead of finding God's way and God's purpose? And we know First, before anything, there's no leadership of the Holy Spirit that takes us outside of the Bible. So if you say, I feel led to do something and it's contrary to Scripture, no, you may feel led to do it, but it's not a leading from God. That's primary. We search our motives and objectives and our whole heart by the Word. And that's especially key when it comes to courtship and marriage. When that's the primary thing, following the leadership of the Lord, understanding discernment. Now, again, there's a couple things. You can become so naturalistic in your approach to marriage that you don't even seek the will of the Lord. You just go by how you feel about this person, right? But then you can also become so spiritualistic. I had a dream. This person is thus saith the Lord, this girl is my wife. And she's like, I don't like you. You're a weirdo. But you're not following the leadership of the Lord. I'm probably call that person out and say, I think you're weird too. God works through circumstances and decisions and even the desires of our heart. We have to check those desires and motives, the things that are in us, with the Word. It's critically important. Because what is wrong with our heart? Should we follow our heart? That's Disney's message to us. That's the message we've unwittingly taken from every love movie and love story that we see, is follow your heart. Does the Scripture tell us to follow our heart? Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, it starts out, blessed are those who follow their heart. Oh, that's Disney, not the Scripture. This is critical, because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, but I'm born again. Okay. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You have to understand that all of that has to be surrendered to the Lord. And the biggest place that the heart is deceived is through, we call it love in America, but it's emotion. Usually it's lust or infatuation. Let's say it the real nice way. Infatuation. We get confused. We become infatuated, and this consumes us. And instead of seeking the mind of the Lord, I just feel this. I feel so strongly. I'm just in love with them. It was love at first sight. We fell in love. Love is a lot more than a virus that we catch. Love is a decision that you make. Love is a choice. Love is action. Love is lived out. And ultimately, the only thing that love is when it comes to in a marriage is it's a covenant between a man and a woman and God. Amen. You're entering into a covenant for life. There's no such thing as divorce. There's no such thing as quitting. There's no such a thing as giving up. It's a covenant. It's a commitment for life. That is where love is found, not in feelings and emotions. The covenant is where it starts. Feelings and emotions will come and go. Proverbs 7:21 through 27. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. We're not to follow after the lust of the eye. Notice that the heart, even the heart declines to her ways. So the heart can deceive us completely. Even people who are Christians can be deceived. Okay, it won't be permanent, but in marriage relationships, it becomes a permanent mistake that you have to live with forever. And you're committed to. If you're a Christian, you won't give up, you won't quit, you'll do your best to make it work, but you probably will make yourself entirely miserable. Again, the purpose of this is not to make you fearful of relationships, fearful of courtship, fearful of marriage. But I think there is a proper sense to understand that this is a very reverent thing to take part in. It can be enjoyable. It can be delightful. If you do it God's way, it will be a great blessing to you. But if you have no reverence for it, you're going to suffer the consequences of your lack of reverence. And that can be a huge problem that we face amongst young people today, is there's a lack of reverence towards relationships, towards the opposite sex. And when you don't have that proper reverence for that, you get yourself caught up in the midst of a lot of circumstances that are very problematic and lead you down the path of evil. A young lady, this Proverbs 7, a young lady that's aggressively following after a man, trying to get him to yield to her. Now, you might be even doing that within a, you know, a nice spectrum, not so bad. But yet, being aggressive about it, you're not doing what the will of the Lord is for your life. It's not a young lady's place to be aggressive and pursue after young men. That's not scriptural. A woman doesn't run after men. That's that for any young man you see a young lady running after you or other people, it's a red flag. Uh-oh, there's a problem. Right? And so this is critical when you're looking at character. What should a young man look for? Number one, he reflects Christ she reflects Christ in her character. She dresses modestly. She respects and submits to her father. If she doesn't respect and submit to her father, it's a really good sign. It's a really good indication she's not going to respect and submit to you either. If she doesn't have a good relationship with her father, it's probably a good sign she won't have a good relationship with you. Now, there can be other circumstances and things. He might be a terrible dad. But if all appearances are that he's a good dad and she's rebellious against him, this is a good sign to say, hey, we need to back off here. This isn't a good direction. You need to figure things out with your dad before we move forward. Number four, she desires to be a mother at home. Number five, Scripture holds up a meek and quiet spirit as a great treasure in a young lady in the sight of God. What should a young lady look for? Number one, that the young man reflects Christ in his character. Number two, he's a real man, not a feminized boy. Number three, he respects and loves his mother, because that's going to be a reflection of his relationship with you in the future. Amen. Number four, he's capable of providing for you. Yeah. You know, the reality is if a young man can't provide for a young woman and she doesn't know who she is, there should be no courtship taking place. Because courtship is discerning the will of God for marriage. We'll talk about that next time. Courtship is discerning the will of God for marriage. And so it's not just like how the world does it. I think that probably the next time we'll talk about the process that's developed in the 20th century of dating and so forth. The very word date is a word borrowed from the late 19th century that speaks of putting your name in a book to meet with a prostitute. That's where the word dating, etymology of the word dating comes from. So, if a young man's not capable of providing for a young lady, there's no need for courtship to take place. Because he's not ready, obviously. Number five, there's not a boy that jumps from girl to girl to girl. He's got this girl and that girl and this girl. That's a big sign. It'll probably continue when he relaxes a little bit after marriage takes place. Someone that's consistent, as we spoke about before, like like Daniel, not like Nebuchadnezzar, not like Belshazzar, jumping from thing to thing and this idea to that idea, here to there, but someone, no matter where he's at, he's consistent in his life and in his walk with the Lord. That's a good place to close from where my notes are at. So let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, Lord, and we ask that your presence would be with us. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd write it on our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that we would be molded and shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, Lord. Bless the worship, bless the preaching of the word today. Be glorified in our midst. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.